Welcome to the Perimenopausal Mamas Podcast for hormonal mamas who want to reclaim their own natural state of health to thrive and raise healthy kids. I'm Dr. Lisa Weeks, naturopathic doctor in Toronto, Canada. I'm a perimenopausal mama to my toddler named Stuart.
And I'm Dr. Toni Reed. I'm a naturopathic doctor, birth doula, and hypnobirthing educator in Calgary, Alberta. And I'm a perimenopausal mama to my little girl, Frankie. The information in this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. It is not meant to substitute professional medical advice. Always consult with your licensed healthcare provider. Welcome back, everyone. This is Dr. Toni, and today I'm so excited to be talking to Dr. Trina Reed. She is a mom and a sexologist and the CEO of the Business of Sex. She is a woman who has a very unique perspective as a sex and relationship expert who also has a corporate background in marketing and PR. So she is used to talking to people about sex, which isn't always a really comfortable conversation and topic to be talking about. I know I'm even a little bit nervous about talking about it today because I don't often talk about sex a lot, especially with my friends. But I'm so glad that she's you're able to join us, Trina. And I'm so glad that, you know, we've been able to reconnect after a few years in the past few months. I recently saw you a few months ago at Camp Hoo Ha, which is, again, a wonderful group for women that I've talked about before on the podcast. You were really entertaining, funny, really engaging as the sex ed camp counselor. And so I'm really excited to have you here to have a conversation about sex in a way that, again, we can just really put it out there and be open and honest, but also really get to, you know, really learning more about ourselves and our sex lives. So thanks so much for joining me today, Trina.
Oh, I'm thrilled to be here because I am a perimenopausal mom and I feel like I'm with my peeps right now. Like we're like hanging, we're doing it. We're talking about it. And that's awesome.
It's so needed, right? You know, we're in the trenches together, so we might as well, again, not be in it by ourselves, but really, again, work with each other.
You know, the more we can talk about our dry vaginas and all the other shit that goes along with this, the better it's going to be for everybody. You know?
Oh, I love it. I so agree. Absolutely. So, you know, right now we're recording. It's the end of May. It's 2020. We've been in a pandemic for the past couple months. You know, most of us around the globe have been following orders to stay at home, you know, as much as possible. And, you know, I remember having, after when this pandemic first started, seeing a bunch of articles in newspapers and online about how there's going to be this big baby boom because everyone's staying at home. Couples are going to be having all this sex. And I thought, well, that doesn't necessarily fit with my experience. You know, I talk a lot in the podcast about how stress can change our hormones, change our bodies physically, emotionally. And, you know, I often think about how stress can really impact a woman's sex life and a couple's sex life. So I'm so glad that you're here to kind of, again, as an expert about this, give us a sense of again, how stress, like a pandemic, will change how our approach to sex is.
Well, the pandemic's really interesting on a lot of different levels for people's sex lives. And I think when we go through any kind of change, whether it's losing a job or getting a job or moving cities or getting married or having a child, like these big life events are big disruptions to our sex life. So there's this belief that sexual libido is just this very constant thing that we will always have in our life, when in fact, our sex is an evolution of ebbs and flows. And so when we go through these big changes, it's a disruption, and like we have to, you know, we have to figure it out and then move on with what we know. And I feel like, you know, this pandemic is one of those big disruptions. So not only are we having to manage the feeling of overwhelm and anxiety and stress, but also we're starting to cohabitate with a bunch of different people. So there was, you know, I feel like that's really impacting our ability to feel sexual. I don't know about you, but I was paying attention, like, because this is what I do for a living. I was paying attention at the beginning of this pandemic, and my libido was absolutely flatlining. Like there was absolutely nothing there. And I thought, well, isn't that interesting? But if you dig a little deeper, it makes a lot of sense, because our bodies can only produce cortisol, which is our stress hormone, or it can produce testosterone, which is our sex hormone, the hormone that propels us to want to have sex, one at a time. So if you're producing cortisol, you cannot produce testosterone. So it makes a lot of sense, you know, especially at the beginning of this pandemic when cities were being shut down, we were feeling a lot of anxiety, we weren't sleeping. Are we talking about a pandemic, or are we talking about perimenopause? I'm kind of getting confused here. So like, not only are we perimenopausal, like we're going through all this stuff. So we're producing all this cortisol, and there's nothing, nothing going on with our testosterone. However, I just want to say, you know, when we're in these situations of great change, it's really important that we consciously look for ways to get together with our partner. So, you know, because I think what happens is when we just let things slide, there's a rift, like rifts start happening between partnerships. And I'm not talking about having mercy sake for the sake of mercy. I'm just saying we have to look for opportunities to be close with our partner. So there's a big difference between having mercy sex and making a decision to proactively look for reasons and opportunities for us to have sex. And this is especially true if you have little kids. So the articles, right after the articles came out that there was going to be a baby boom, the next wave of articles came out which was, you know, how are parents going to have sex now with all the little kids running around? Like it just makes it really tricky and challenging. But I think when we proactively look for those pockets of time, those opportunities to be close with our partner, it helps our relationship. It helps ourselves. And like when, you know, if you are like me, flatlining, you absolutely have nothing, you know, I think that's when you have to say to yourself, okay, what can I do to help myself feel more sensual and do that self-care? So that might be taking a bath or listening to some of your favorite music, or, you know, taking a vibe to the bedroom and giving yourself some me time, whatever it is that helps you bring your body back to a place where it's a little bit more centered so that you can move into, you know, being with your partner. I think it's really important to in this time, to, instead of drifting apart, is to look for ways to stay together.
I love that. And I love how you're talking about, again, that idea of our hormones and how when our stress hormones, when our cortisol is up, something like testosterone isn't being produced. And as women, we need testosterone. It's not just a men's hormone, but we need that for our libido and for really our sexuality. So it's not just a matter of just kind of forcing it, but it really is about looking at when you do that self-care and when you do have that me time, then that you can allow for that cortisol to go down so that you can have some of that testosterone building up.
Yeah, and I also know from doing this for so many years, when you make when a woman makes a conscious decision, when she makes up her mind about how she wants her life to be, I don't think there's anything more powerful than a woman who makes up her mind. So when you make up your mind that you want to be connected to your partner, and you know, that's a very powerful place to be, as opposed to, you know, avoiding sex or, you know, not feeling like it. Do you understand the dynamic change there? It's just like, you know, you make this decision that you're going to proactively make your partnership a priority. And, you know, it just changes everything. Like, being able to live with somebody is so much easier.
Oh, absolutely, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so it's so important to, again, keep that connection, even though we're not feeling like having sex.
Well, I think it's, you know, it might, like I say, it might feel forced at first.
Yeah.
But then once, like, it's just, you know, you're just getting your body back into the groove of things, right? Like, you're just pulling your body into wanting it again.
Yeah. So then there's the idea of just kind of, you know, doing your typical thing of, you know, again, some couples can kind of get into ruts when it comes to their sex lives. So especially in, you know, to kind of get yourself back into the groove, what do you typically recommend for that? Or,
you know, there's some really interesting research that's coming out of the University of British Columbia. There's actually two laboratories there. And one has nothing to do with this question, but I'll put it out there anyways, because there's a lot of necessary reading that women can go on. So there's a laboratory called SEMCOR. I don't know why they named it this, but it's C-E-M-C-O-R. SEMCOR. And it's run by Dr. Jerry Lynn Pryor. She's an endocrinologist.
Yes. And I've heard of her. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And her life's work has been around menstruation, perimenopause, and menopause. So her whole website is dedicated to helping women, answering their questions surrounding all the issues that come with progesterone and estrogen, menstruation, you know, like, what can we do? So, I mean, that's a really good resource. But to actually answer your question, there's a sex laboratory out of UBC run by Dr. Lori Brato. And one of the things that she talks about, well, there's two things that she talks about that we can, you know, address here to answer your question. Mm-hmm. The first one is, so sexual desire is similar to happiness, in that we need to be triggered in order to feel happy. So most women, not all women, but the majority of women, in order to feel sexual desire, we need to be triggered. So when we're going through our sexual evolution and the different sexual experiences that we have learned positive triggers, and we've also learned negative triggers, right? So when you ask me, you know, what can women do? It seems a little theoretical, but it's setting up those situations where you have happy triggers in place. So you know that, you know, like, and part of having happy trigger, sexual desire triggers is understanding what you want out of the sexual experience. So I think, you know, especially as we go from perimenopause into menopause, and our bodies are changing and our vaginal canals are shifting, there needs to be less emphasis put on having sexual intercourse, because I think sexual intercourse all the time can be a negative trigger for women. And they just think, oh, we're just going to have sexual intercourse, it doesn't really do it for me, that's a negative trigger. So what if we pull that back and we say, okay, so what if we were to, you know, if we were to do something that you wanted to do, what would that be? And what I've noticed over my career is when you ask women, what do you want out of your sexual experience? No one's ever asked her. So she, you know, if an answer doesn't immediately come from your lips, that's not related to having an orgasm. Because usually what happens when I say, what do you want out of the sexual experience? Women automatically answer, oh, I want to have an orgasm.
Absolutely. You know, because what else do you have sex for?
what else is there in the sexual experience?
Right.
So unfortunately, we've been brainwashed that the only two things that are available for sex is having an orgasm and having intercourse. And those two things can sometimes become negative triggers for women. So if we were to take those two things out of the equation and say, okay, so what would you like? So what women tend to say is, well, I want more sensuality. I want back rubs. I want, I want to kiss more. I want to my partner, I want to be able to bring a vibrator, or I want to bring something into play. I want to do different things. I want to try different things. So when you actually look at ways that you think sex could be enjoyable, those start creating happy triggers, right? Mm-hmm. So if you can anticipate that you're going to be doing something that you want to do, that's a happy trigger. Or if you know that during the sexual experience, because you've expressed something that you want to do, and you know that that's going to happen, that's a happy trigger. So it's, if you don't, the thing about perimenopause is most women's libidos tank for a number of reasons, and we can go through those.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good idea, but yeah, keep going.
So we might be putting the cart before the horse right now, but so the thing is, in order to get that feeling back, we need to create in our repertoire, things that trigger our sexual desire. And it does seem like a lot of work, and maybe women are feeling like that, like it's just overwhelming because she has so much other things going on in her life. But this is an integral and important aspect, and it actually doesn't take a whole lot of effort, really. It just takes you thinking about what you want to experience. So the other thing that Lori Brado's sex laboratory came up with, which is a segue from being triggered, is going and doing like meditation or self-awareness thing. So, doing yoga, doing Tai Chi, and these things help lower the anxiety, help lower stress, help you sleep better. And these self-care are helping you to get your libido back into the swing of things. So, it's helping you, your overall life, but it's also helping your sexuality.
I love that. I love the idea of meditating for better sex.
Yeah. So she's really an advocate for, and she's actually done some clinical studies to prove that meditation improves your sex life.
That's amazing. And yeah. I love the idea of a sex laboratory as well. Who knew that actually existed too?
Yeah. She's doing some pretty wonderful research.
That is so great. Okay. I'll definitely put a link to that on in the show notes so that people can check that out too. Cause I'm definitely going to check that out after we talk today. That's so cool. Now you did mention, how sex changes as we go into perimenopause. Can we talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. So there's the good and the bad, right? We'll start with the bad. The bad is, it's like we're in reverse adolescence. So we have
awesome.
We're just like 16-year-old girls. Crazy, and I know what what I'm talking about. Yeah, I know what like you have those crazy moments, and you're in the middle of the crazy moment, and you're thinking, I'm crazy right now, and I can't stop this. Yeah, so it's So, you know, instead of our hormones ramping up to go into childbearing years, our hormones are ramping down and we're, you know, we're closing down the shop. And, you know, so we're having wild ebbs and flows of our estrogen and our progesterone. And that's just wreaking havoc on, like, not just our sex life, but also all the extraneous things around. So we're not sleeping and mm-hmm. we're feeling a lot of anxiety and we're having hot flashes. I mean, I don't know if this makes you feel like you want to have sex, but it doesn't make me feel like I want to have sex. Like these are all detriments. So, you know, like, I'm sure you talk about this on your podcast about, you know, there are things that we can do to help with this, you know, slowdown of our, and surges of estrogen and progesterone. But the good news is, once we hit 40, we start producing less oxytocin. So oxytocin is our bonding and sharing hormone. It's what helps us tend to people, and that we're producing less oxytocin helps us be a little more selfish. Now I'm using the S word here, but it helps us be a little bit more selfish where we start doing a lot more self-care. So this is why we see women who are, you know, 40 plus, and they are doing the yoga retreats and they are, you know, taking up meditation and they are starting to do all these self-care things because they know it's really important to take care of herself. So, part of that, you know, self-care is having just a better understanding of your body. You know, you've been around the block a few times, you know, what works for your body, what might not work for your body. You know, you're not as self-conscious about your body as you might have been when you were 20. You know, there's a little bit more self-confidence going on. So I think, you know, all the wisdom that we've reaped over the years, once we hit 40 plus, we understand that, you know, having a satisfying sex life that's not just about our partner, but about what we want, all of a sudden we feel a little bit more deserved maybe to explain to our partner that we want something different out of our sexuality. So, you know, a lot of times with 20-year-olds or 30-year-olds, they just don't feel like they can have that conversation. But once you hit 40, you're like, you know, I've only got so a lot much longer in life and I'm not going to be putting up with what I did. You know, that was my choice, but now I want something different. So I'm going to create something different out of my sex life. And that's really, you know, when we're here in perimenopause, it's that change of life. It's that disruption. And really this is your opportunity to create something that's different and better in your sexuality. And, you know, just to add to this, I hope I'm not going off in too many tangents here.
I love it. Well, and before you go off on your tangent, I just want to say, I love that idea of again, creating that opportunity to evolve your sex life. Cause even, you know, that idea, even in the pandemic, of being able to use this opportunity to really look at what's working and what's not and to shift things. And that's, you know, in our lives, but I love even, you know, that looking at it as the microcosm in our sex life, in our sexuality as well. And even, you know, our relationship with our partner.
Yeah. And so over the years, I get phone calls and it's people sometimes mistake me for a therapist. I'm not a therapist. I'm a sexologist. And if that's really confusing, a therapist, you know, helps couples or helps people with their individual problems. I'm just an educator, I am an educator. So I don't, that may be splitting hairs, but anyway, so I've gotten calls, many calls over the years. And when a man calls me and says, my wife doesn't want to have sex, I've learned to ask, so is your wife in her mid 40s? Is she going through perimenopause? So men, you know, there's, and nine times out of 10, that's what's happening. So she's like, her body is going through such immense changes. And it's to the point where the husband is phoning for help, right? Because he wants to help do something to change the situation. So my point is, a lot of women are scared to talk to their partners about doing something that she wants to do, you know, like going outside the, I get you off, you get me off. We both are supposed to have an orgasm and then the sex is done, right? Like she's bored of it. She doesn't want that anymore. She wants to do something different, but most women are too scared to talk to her partner about doing something that she wants to do. And I'm here to say that if doing something you want to do is going to help you become a more engaged partner, where you're going to be actively, you know, wanting sex and perhaps more often, I promise you, your partner will be on board with this. Like the men, we tend to society tends to oversimplify men's sexuality, but I feel that men are just as complex as we are, right? And they are, for the most part, I know there's some assholes out there, but I would say the majority of men that I have met, they are absolutely happy and wanting and willing to participate in something different and new. It just, the crux of it is you just being able to say, you know what, I need something different. And there might be some adjustment, right? And it's going to be awkward and all that. But once you bring this new thing into your, you know, into your sexual play, it makes everybody happy, right? So and I get so frustrated because, women, they don't know how to have this conversation, and men don't either, right? Like men and women don't know how to have, we need to do something different in our relationship. But I would say, like when we go into our twilight years, once you are done perimenopause and are into your menopause years, from what I've heard and spoken to with women, like it's just fantastic, right? So I think what we need to do now is set the precedent for what we want that time of our life to be. And, we need to feel powerful and in control of what our destiny is going to be, right? Like wouldn't it be amazing if at 90 we were still having sex that fulfilled us, right? And it starts now in perimenopause with us just saying, hey, what do I want out of the sexual experience and how do I communicate that to my partner?
Oh my God, I'm so glad that you addressed that, because definitely, I think a lot of us and maybe even me are a little bit, feel uncomfortable with the idea of changing things or shifting things and talking about things and oh my God, what's my partner going to say and how are they going to respond? But like you said, it's just so key to communicate that and to shift that so that that evolution continues, because things aren't going to stay the same. So if you can go and go on that journey together to create something new, having sex, amazing sex when you're in your 80s and 90s, like who doesn't want that?
Yeah. And it starts with, so we'll just really quickly recap. So it starts with, what are your triggers to sex? Are they happy or are they not so happy? Like, that your sexual desire, does it, do you have good, happy triggers for it? And are you doing self-care where, Tai Chi or yoga or meditation or, things that get you into your body and relaxing and in that pleasant state, because that's what's going to help bring your libido back. And then, understanding what you want out of the sexual experience, like, sitting and having a good, good navel gaze and just saying, okay, well, if intercourse and orgasm were off the table, what would I want out of this experience? Like what would I want to feel? What would I, after I have sex, what do I want to feel after the sex? That's an important component. Like, you want to have those happy memories that give happy triggers to your sexual desire, because it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. right? And then communicating them to your partner. And you know, I just think about all the frustrated and sad and confused men who have called me over the years because their wife is in perimenopause and she understandably is unable to communicate that things have changed in her body and, you know, she's ashamed or whatever it is. And I just say, screw that shit. Just, you know, have the conversation, you know, so because it's going to be better for you and it's going to be better for your partner. And you're going to, and when you bring that sexual sensual component into your relationship, it's going to you're going to have deeper meaning, more meaningful sex. Like that's what I hear over and over and over again. When you actually bring that play and that sensuality, sex becomes off the charts. Like it's crazy, amazing, right? And it just starts with the conversation.
A couple of minutes of feeling uncomfortable and awkward could lead to, again, mind-blowing sex.
Yeah.
Love it. Now, I don't know if, again, this fits with our episode right now, or if we just need to have you to come on again, because I'm really curious as to what you would recommend for women who are feeling, you know, some of those physical symptoms of perimenopause, especially around sex, like having a dry vag, a dry vagina.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because the number one thing that is said over and over in women's forums is women have dry vaginas and sex is uncomfortable. And, you know, she doesn't want to have, like, sex is uncomfortable to the point where it's painful and intercourse doesn't feel good. Right. So, and luckily there's a ton of information on the internet that addresses the plethora of ways for women to manage a dry vagina. So I would say if you're in perimenopause right now, and you know, if you have a dry vagina once in a while, that's very, very common. That has to do with your progesterone and estrogen flow. Yeah. Right. And so in that situation, you just want to get yourself a really good lubricant. So, you know, you can go to the drugstore and there's a lot of options at the drugstore. You can go online and there's some really wonderful organic lubricants, you know, and I would say, you know, if you are experiencing this more often than not, then you probably want to go with a silicone lubricant. So there's water-based lubricant and then there's silicone lubricant. And if you are, you know, if you have a dry vag, you get a silicone lubricant and it's really slippery. It's super slippery. Or they now are doing a hybrid of water and silicone based lubricant. So they put those two things together. And I think you have to play with lubricant a little bit. And, you know, I am always astonished, like throughout my career, when I bring up lubricant with women, they tend to get really defensive. This is like a defensive point for women. And I don't know why, but I, you know, I say, hey, you should use lubricant. And women are like, I lubricate just fine. Thank you very much. It's like a stamp of shame. She has to like get a ball of lubricant and, you know, like, and I'm just here to say lubricant makes all sex so much better. Like any kind of sex, you know, any, honestly, lubricant just makes every sex better. So it's just a matter of trying out a few products. Like that's the thing about lubricant, like the texture, the viscosity, you know, works for some women, doesn't work for others, you know, so you got to maybe try a few different brands out. Wow. You got to see if you like water-based or silicone, but you know, like that's an easy fix. They also have, you know, suppositories that will keep your vaginal canal moistened. And, you know, there's lovely organic products on the market. And, you know, one of my, like, and I mean this sincerely, and for me, the magic bullet of so many different things is to do your Kegels. And so Kegels just are your pubococcygeus muscles and, you know, where you sit, and put pressure. That's if you want to know where they are, that's pretty much where they are. And the thing about the vaginal canal, it's very much a use it or lose it thing. So if you don't use your vaginal canal, it's going to probably atrophy. It's like any muscle in your body. And so when you start doing Kegels, it's starting to work that muscle again. What it's doing is it's bringing blood flow to the vaginal area. And they've done research to show that women who have gone through menopause and who do regular Kegel exercises, they're able to have bigger, better orgasms than women who don't do their Kegel exercises, right? So this is just a really simple, free thing that every person can do. And, you know, I always like to say to women, you know, you've got to do the towel test. So do you know what the towel test is?
I have no idea what the towel
test
is.
Okay, so the towel test, so when a man is like in his 17 years old and he gets an erection, you could put a towel on his erection and his erection will hold that towel up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So I have the image in my mind.
Yeah, we're all imagining this because I think we've all seen a man with a towel on his erection. So the thing is, as that man ages, his pubic coccygeus muscles, they start to weaken, and men also need to be doing Kegel exercises. So they've done some experiments where men, did the towel test where their erection was not holding up the towel. And after he did, you know, Kegels for months, he was then able to hold that towel up, right? So like that's a physical representation of just how important that area of our body is. So I'm just saying to women, we need to have that towel test too, right? Like whatever your towel is, it might be like, you know, they actually have a lot of products to help women, like if you actually want to insert something into your vaginal canal to squeeze it while you're doing your Kegel muscles. I personally feel like I'm just too busy to have things like that. But
yeah.
However, we need to like have that towel test of, you know, like we started in one place and we moved to another place doing our Kegel muscles, because honestly, once you start, and it's not just about blood flow and your muscle tone, which are very important, but also I find if let's all do Kegels right now, like everybody here, let's all do some Kegels, right? When you're doing the Kegels, I'm doing them right now.
I'm doing my Kegels right now.
Thank you.
Dr. Trina.
Like we are bringing awareness to our vaginal canal. And that awareness is one of those happy sexual desire triggers, right? Like we are consciously doing something to make sex better for us. And it's a very powerful place to be in. So, if you are experiencing dry vagina, get on the Kegels right away. Now, if it's more chronic, sometimes with women, their vaginas atrophy and they shorten, and then her uterus can prolapse. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I'm probably throwing way too much information out there, but apparently every single woman's uterus will prolapse at one point in her life. It's to varying degrees. Some women's uterus prolapses, you know, noticeably. But, you know, if your vaginal atrophies and narrows and shortens, then intercourse is going to be a lot. It's going to be really uncomfortable to the point where it's painful. Lubricant is not going to help you. Kegels will only do so much.
Right.
So that's when you need to go see your doctor about, you know, possibly hormone replacement therapy. I know that's not for everybody, but it might just be a temporary thing that you do for your body. And there was a lot of bad flack about hormone replacement therapy in the 1990s. But improved
think,
on it. They've improved on it. And now, it's a lot more viable now. Or if you want to go with alternative herbal supplements, and you probably know a lot more about this, Tony, than I do, but you know, there's black cohosh, there's red clover, there's soy.
Yeah.
And even though these are herbal supplements, they still are medications, right? So you have to read the label and be very careful when you're taking them. So like there's, I'm just, you know, you can go, you know, something that's out there that I'm not necessarily on board with, but you know, like if it works for you, then that's good. But there's laser vaginal rejuvenation.
Yeah.
There's pelvic physical therapy. So I'm just saying
there's
a lot
options.
Of
options. There's so
there's
many
tons
options.
Tons of options, but what stops women from doing something to help herself is having that awkward conversation with her doctor.
Yeah.
With her naturopath,
yeah.
with her partner, right? That's the thing that stops the women. So I say, you know, stop that. Like your poor little vag, she's doing everything to make this good for you. We need to treat her with some TLC, you know,
and give her a little help. Sometimes
give her a little nudge.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, maybe acupuncture works for you. Like, so there's a ton of options.
And I think
to help this.
I think a lot of women just don't realize that there's options. And so that's why I'm so glad you brought that up. And something that we'll continue to talk about on this podcast is the options for women, is to educate them that, again, there's things that you can do, and at various stages, whether it's pharmaceutical or non-pharmaceutical, rather than just, again, accepting what is.
Yeah, you know, I'm coming back to this theme, which is, you know, I just heard this term just a couple of days ago, so it's all I want to use now. It's like, oh, it's shiny and new, but you can slide or you can decide, right? So you can slide into having painful intercourse and not, you know, just, you know, have that life, or you can decide to do something about it. You know, you can decide to do something when you're in perimenopause to make your sexual experience something unique and exciting for you. Like, you know, here we have this opportunity now to, you know, create something exciting and amazing for us. And, you know, I just say, you know, especially during the pandemic, when we have some time to think about it, we could do it.
Awesome. Oh, I'm so glad that you shared all of this amazing, juicy wisdom. You have really given me a lot of food for thought. So I'm sure a lot of our listeners are going to be, again, thinking about what they can do to shift how what's happening with our sex lives. And I would love for you to come back and talk more about this, Dr. Trina.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Anytime you want to.
Awesome.
Come on.
Awesome. So now, how can people connect with you? I think your website has a lot of great information on it.
Mm-hmm. It does. It does have a lot of great information. So my website is trinareed.com.
Perfect.
And I am on social media. So I'm on Twitter and Facebook. What I try and do on social media is post articles that get couples talking. So discussing sex doesn't becomes easier, right? So like a couple years ago, I posted about a woman who used her vaginal yeast. So she must have had a vaginal yeast infection, but she used it to make bread.
Wow.
I know. And I mean, how could you not talk to your spouse about that? Like, you have to talk to your spouse about that, because that's so talk worthy, right? So on my social media, I try and post these articles that you can go to your spouse and say, this is crazy. This, like, what are people doing? Like, but then when it comes to having a conversation around your own sex, all of a sudden it's not so difficult. It's like, oh, you know what? We've had this conversation a couple times, or these articles lead into you being able to have a conversation about your own sex life, but that's the kind of thing I post on my social media. And I also, I'm writing, I don't know if I told you this, Tony, but I'm in the middle of writing a book.
Oh, yay.
Yeah. It's about, thank you. It's a self-help fiction book. So it's about four fictional characters who are all very different ages and stages of their life, taking an actual sex course. So it's about their experience going through the sex course. And yeah. And so two of the women are married and two of them are single, and, you know, one has kids and one's in perimenopause and one's, you know, just in a new relationship. So it's all different women and they're all taking the same course, but they're all having a very different experience of it. So hopefully, you know, in the next 6 or 7 months, it will be out. It's called Amy Finds Her Sex.
Love it. Amy Finds Her Sex. So definitely by 2021.
Oh, fingers crossed. Fingers crossed.
Okay. I'll keep my fingers crossed because I'm really looking forward to reading that book, Dr. Trita. Oh, thank you so much for joining me. I'm just so excited that you were able to share what you shared, and I look forward to talking with you again.
Well, thanks for having me on.
Oh, take care. Okay, so now we're totally going to switch gears from talking about sex to sharing this week's super mom moment and mama mess up. This week, it was all about rain boots. So being spring in Calgary, it tends to start raining a lot. And of course, I was a bit caught off guard. I had Frankie in her winter boots they weren't waterproof. They were just about, they were some fancy kind of little suede boots that I'd picked up and just to keep her feet warm. And I thought, okay, I'll get waterproof boots down the road. But all of a sudden it's like, okay, Frankie was in her boots getting her feet soaked. So a bit of a mess up that way where I just really wasn't prepared right away to have those, you know, waterproof rain boots ready. And that did lead into a super mom moment where I realized I already had rain boots. I had accepted a wonderful friend's gift of some hand-me-down rain boots and a raincoat, matching raincoat, so that I could just pull it out of the closet and Frankie could wear those outside. So, you know, a real super mom moment for me to actually know and remember that I did have that backup there. And even thinking about, again, just a general super mom moment of having accepted that gift from my friend without worrying about how I was going to pay her back or reciprocate. And so I think it's definitely something that I've worked on as a mom, you know, to really accept those gifts with grace and with thanks. And knowing that down the road, I can pay it forward to another mom, but not having to worry about it in the moment. And then this week's mama must have, a bit related to this, is, you know, my mama must have is the neighborhood buy and sell group, that I'm on Facebook. And many of you may have something similar where you live. It's really been amazing to not only pass on things that we have not needed to use anymore to, again, make space in the house, but also to, especially during the pandemic where you need something, you may not really want to run out to the store. Again, the stores that may have the item that you need may not be open. So really working with my community to make sure that we're taken care of. And again, doing it safely and making sure that things are, again, properly cleaned and there's proper distancing involved as well. So that's been my mama must have. So if you don't have something like that, in your neighborhood, again, seek it out. It may be there, or you could even look at, again, creating that for yourself too. So thanks again for Dr. Trina Reed joining us today. And thank you for joining us today. Again, you can find the show notes at our website, perimenopausalmamas.com, or connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. You know, let us know what you like. Give us any ideas of what you'd like to see as well. We'd love for you to subscribe, leave us a review and a 5-star rating, especially if you enjoyed this episode. And please tell your perimenopausal mama friends about us too. Take care, everyone. Stay safe. We'll talk again soon.